I found an interesting piece of information out of the Bible Expositor. I'll just read it to you. It was a study that was done in 1974. It says, in 1974, the research firm of Daniel Yankelevich, Incorporated, surveyed 3,500 young people, ages 16 to 25. The interviews sought to learn what these selected individuals felt about every important value in today's world. The study indicated that only 31% considered premarital sexual relationships as morally wrong, compared to 52% in a 1969 survey. Opposition to abortion dropped from 58% to 45% in the same period. The proportion who considered living a clean moral life a very important value fell from 71% to 52%. It would seem that the standards are shifting into the patterns that existed in the days of Noah. This was nearly 40 years ago. Have things gotten better or have things gotten worse? I do think that today we have adulterous immorality. More than a few have been in the news recently, everyone from government officials to sports professionals. They've been having their dirty laundry aired publicly worldwide. The dirty laundry being adultery, immorality, these sort of things. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 27. Proverbs 6, verse 27 through 29. What has happened to these individuals, these that have been known to be good people, and then these things are found out? Proverbs 6, verse 27 through 29 says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who gets or goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished." Proverbs 6, verse 32, starting there and through 33, "The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out." You know, there are physical aspects of adultery. There are immorality. There are also spiritual aspects. But concerning the physical aspects, I do think that King David suffered such a fate as some are today. But it was a bit worse, as he was a worshiper of Yahweh and placed over Israel, Yahweh's people. His punishment was not only unrest and a sword that never left his house, but his shameful deed has been told over and over again and again throughout the centuries. This was a man with a spirit, so don't think it can't happen to you. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7. And I know there's a lot of young men that are going to be hearing this. There are those that are receiving these DVDs, CDs, in the prisons. There are those that are receiving this online, and there are people in need of this message. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 8. The statistics were some time ago, about half of those that claim to be Christians have admitted to viewing pornography in various ways. So it seems to be a prevalent issue, even among those that clearly believe in a Heavenly Father and His Son. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. "Do not be deceived. Yahweh is not mocked." What is the warning for us? "For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, there is spiritual aspects to adulterous immorality. Pornography, is it a victimless crime? industry is supported by those that pursue it. Emotional well-being is compromised. Ultimately, death is the end result. A sickness of this society, I do believe it is. I received an email this morning. I always seem to get help with some of these messages. And I got an email. I was checking my emails as I normally do. And I received this one from a company who I had registered an item for because I wanted to make sure I had the warranty. And they sent me this email about these women they were going to have a judging on, and they were all, half naked, basically. Couldn't believe it. Here's a company that's promoting this type of lifestyle. There was a father speaking to his son on a comedy sitcom. The son was found on the computer at home, and he was home alone. Father came in, saw him, and he alarmingly said, "A computer is a box full of naked women." And, it was supposed to be funny, and in a sense it sort of was, but yet it's not funny. Because we find this going on today. On the website that I have as a homepage to get the email and these type of things, it had a section called Trending Now. That section is what is active on the Internet. Where are people going? And there was a list of 10, and there were names and subjects. At number one was Lucy Lawless. Lucy Lawless. I went ahead and clicked it to see what it was pointing to as far as the web page search, and gave a link, and it said, "Lucy Lawless says her new TV show is gory, sexy, and extremely offensive. Sounds like it's worth watching." Couldn't believe it. And this is the kind of thing that's going on today, and it's becoming more prevalent. So it's also true that the television is a box full of adulterous immorality, depending on what channel you watch. Scripture has various warnings about adulterous immorality, but also some words of encouragement. But what I'd like to do is look at some of the warnings. Genesis 39, and starting in verse 7. Genesis 39, starting in verse 7. "It came about after these events," speaking of Joseph, "came about after these events that the master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in the house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against Yahweh?'" So we find that this is not just sin, it's a great evil, what this woman was wanting from Joseph. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. We talk about adultery, but we're talking about immorality as well. There are sexual sins that have really nothing to do with adultery, maybe idolatry. But Ephesians 5, verse 5 says, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and Yahweh." I think it's appropriate to say the kingdom of Messiah and Yahweh, because the Messiah is going to be there as the king in that kingdom. Yahweh is going to place him there as king, and he is our king even now. Well, there's encouragement, too, found in Scripture. Scriptures that we can look upon, rely upon, bring to memory. And, in fact, the Spirit will bring these to memory, to our memory. There are books available. There are books for this specific type of sin. There are clinics and support groups. Most importantly, there is a daily prayer and seeking after Yahweh's righteousness and looking forward to the coming kingdom. We also have the Spirit of Yahweh, which helps in various ways from reminding us of Yahweh's word, but also it allows us to realize we're not alone and will move inside of you to move you in the right direction. So the Spirit is there to help. It moves within us. It's to help us to stay away from evil and to do the right things. And as you're staying in line with the Spirit, you're staying in line with Yahweh's word. I was looking at some of the books that could possibly be purchased to help these type of things. And on Amazon Books, there's a book called Every Man's Battle. And it basically goes over behavioral modifications to help with someone with these type of issues. And one of the things I like about Amazon Books is you can look at a book and see comments, those that have already read it, and see what they say about it. And I've actually passed on books because the comments were not good about the book. In fact, concerning some religious books, the people that had read the book wondered even if the author had even believed in Yahweh at any time because of the way he wrote. And yet he was a biblical scholar. So these type of things are going on, but we need to make sure that we do believe, that we have faith, and also obedience. Well, this particular post, I'm going to go ahead and read a couple to you, but actually both of these were 100% helpful. You can make a note online whether or not the post is helpful. Well, this man writes, as a recovering sex lust addict and a Christian, I found little information in this book that would be useful to a real addict. In the book, the authors describe their concept of a fractional addict. This really sounds like someone who has developed a bad habit and needs to come to the full understanding that it is not acceptable to Yahweh and must be given up. For people like that, I believe that this book is a good recommendation, going over things like balancing the eyes, training the mind, etc., and it will probably work for them. However, true addicts know that what they are doing is wrong. They want to stop. They try to stop, but they cannot stop. If I try to stop but cannot stop, and try to moderate but cannot moderate, then I'm addicted. This is a good book for those who finally decide to try to stop. Some will be able to stop, most hopefully, by practicing the book's suggested techniques for a few weeks, but actually sex lust addicts will not. If you try what this book recommends, but you still can't find victory, please look into a 12-step fellowship such as Sexaholics Anonymous. Never knew there was such a group. But there are different groups out there. This is one. And this one is found at www.sa.org. Some people may think that a 12-step program is less Christian, he says. But then the program describes in this book, but that is simply not true. The original 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, was based on the principles of the Oxford Group, a non-denominational Christian group. The 12 steps are absolutely consistent with believers. In fact, while Every Man's Battle describes methods to help me stop certain activities through my power, the 12 steps help me to find a real relationship with Yahweh so that I can call on him during temptations and have victory through his power. Please check out the book, Impossible Joy, The Good News for Lust and Sex Addicts and Other Sinners, also available here on Amazon. That book was written by a true addict who found a real relationship with the Messiah through working through the 12 steps of SA, Sexaholics Anonymous. He recently celebrated 30 years of sobriety. Thousands more of us have found the same answer. Yahweh willing, I'll be sober in 5 years in May. And he ends with, there is hope. And for those that are involved in these type of things, we do get phone calls. We have requested prayer specifically for such things as this. Those that are coming out of the world that recognize that the Bible forbids such things and they desire help, and yet they are still expressing that they have tendencies and they want to break these tendencies. So there needs to be some prayer. There needs to be a focus on Yahweh and His righteousness, His ways, basically a reading of the Scriptures and asking for His help to overcome. A real relationship is needed. And a real determination to overcome is needed. And it's not easy. And it doesn't necessarily happen in one step. That's why with Alcoholics Anonymous, with Sexaholics Anonymous, there are 12 steps. It's a process. And there is hope. There is hope to overcome. People do not have to live the way they are living in some of these situations. Here's another one. And this one was... let me just go ahead and read it. It says, I'll start by saying that I am a female. So here's my opinion from a woman's point of view. My husband and I ordered this book to read together to help him become pure and to help me to understand some of what he goes through. I thought that the principles in this book were very good, especially the chapter on cherishing your wife, and she puts a little smiley face. And my husband gained some insight that he found really practical and helpful. However, we were both disappointed in the amount of time the author spent in talking about their various temptations. Now, there were, I think, three or four authors of this book, Every Man's Battle. And they did express what they had to battle with, their situations. But it goes on to say, and how deep they got into the world of pornography and lust. I understand that they wanted men reading the book to relate and not feel alone, and to dispel some of the stigma surrounding the issue of lust. But I thought the descriptions of what they saw, from a graphic description of a female jogger in a bikini to constant detailed references to women body parts, were just lusting in word form. It seemed to me that the men in this book changed their actions, but never changed their hearts. They may not lust openly anymore, but they still seem to not respect women very much. I felt like a body part while reading this book. My husband was disappointed. He said he enjoyed parts of the book, but other parts brought to mind exactly what he's been trying to get away from. I guess reading this book is better than not doing anything. But I recommend Randy Alcorn's The Purity Principle, which is another book. Instead, an amazing little book that helped my husband and I tremendously. It's said that about 99% of these type of addicts involving these type of things are men. But there is a small percentage of women. You can see this even going with magazines. Now, she was not involved in this type of thing other than her husband was involved in it. So she had to deal with it. So there's repercussions. And just like we see sports professionals losing their marital bliss, I guess you could say, losing their families, we see this with other political figures, authorities. But it's a world gone crazy, and it's a world messed up and involved in things that it shouldn't be involved in. But we see adult magazine racks with 99% of the magazines are geared and focused for the men. But with women, romance novels are geared for them, as well as romanticizing soap operas. Men and women think differently, but even Eve was seduced by what she saw while reasoning in her mind. And you can see this in Genesis chapter 3, and starting in verse 6. Genesis 3 and verse 6 says, when the woman, speaking of Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So Satan knows what our weaknesses are. He knows that if he can put doubt in our minds, if he can get things before our eyes, that he may have a chance to get a foothold and to destroy a life. and he is out to destroy. He's out to destroy us. He's out to keep people in deception. And Scripture defines him as roaming around as a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. So how do we fight? How do we overcome? How does one overcome adulterous immorality? Well, various ways, but one could start by turning the eyes away, not lusting. Job, in chapter 31 and verse 1, Job says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" Job seemed to understand that he needed to turn his eyes away from such things and from, to keep from having lustful thoughts or feelings towards someone. Other ways can include thinking about the big picture. What is the big picture? What is our focus to be? Where are we going? Where do we want to go? There is a coming kingdom, and we are sojourners just like Abraham. Abraham was called out of the land of Ur. We are called out of the symbolic Egypt, and we are going towards a promised land. We need to keep that in focus, because along the way, we don't want to be picking up things, doing things, looking at things that are inappropriate and that are not going to be in the kingdom that we're going to. We need to keep things in perspective. I remember a difficult time that I had, and Yahweh works things out, but he doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to handle. I was in a very stressful situation, and I saw an ant walking along, minding his own business, basically, but there was a clod of dirt is in front of him, and he stopped in his tracks, looked around, and went around the clod. Now, that was like a mountain to that ant, but he was able to overcome. He was able to overcome that obstacle. He went around it. If he had been strong enough, maybe he could have went through it. But he went around it. I think we need to go around some of the things that are out in the world, avoiding them. Not necessarily trying to go through them, but avoid them altogether. It's been said that this too shall pass. It's also been said that temptations will come and go. And it's very true. Temptations come, but they will always go. So if we can endure, if we can think about the coming kingdom, if we can go to Yahweh in prayer, if we can flatten ourselves out before him, he's there to help. The Spirit is here to help. So we are not without hope. Do we think about the armor of Yahweh in our lives? There's the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the belt, the sword, the feet, the covered feet. Basically having shoes. The helmet is the hope of salvation. It covers and protects our minds. Our mind is to be focused on the future goal of the coming kingdom and our eyes on Messiah who is leading us. You remember the story about Peter going out on the water heading towards Messiah. He was okay until he took his eyes off of him. That's when things became unnerving for him and he started to fall. And there is a lesson there for us. There's the breastplate of righteousness, faith, and love. It covers and protects the heart, front and back. If you've ever seen a Roman soldier, which is evidently what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he was speaking about this armor. I mean, there's a spiritual application, of course, to all this, but being in jail, he probably saw the Roman officer, soldier, with all of this gear on. There's the shield, the faith, extinguishing the flaming arrows of the evil one, not only for defense, but also for offensive usage. And shields can be locked together as a unified front against any assault. And we read in 1 Corinthians, as a scripture reading, chapter 12, and it talks about utilizing the gifts of the Spirit as we are coming together, worshiping Yahweh. It's as if we're locking our shields together as a united front against the world. But it's Yahweh's help that's really supporting us to be able to do all of this. there's the belt. It's the belt of truth, and it keeps things where they should be. And it's foundational, and it's where you find the sword for battle. And we have in Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the word of Yahweh being the sword. So we are to have that, and we are to keep in mind that word and be able to use it at times. Then there's the feet that are covered, the shoes. Peace, bringing good news. Isaiah 52:7, you don't have to turn there, but it reads, "How lovely are the feet of him who brings good news." Well, they, you know, like Joseph, you can also use your shoes for running. Because if we were to read the rest of the story on Joseph, he ran. He ran from that woman who wanted to have an adulterous affair with him. So we have shoes too. We have spiritual armor, and we need to make use of it. 1 Corinthians 10, if you turn there. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. A simple thing like an ant walking along, being able to walk around a clod of dirt, was that sent from Yahweh? I mean, did he allow me to see that and think about it so I could overcome the trial that I was going through, the temptation, or whatever it is that we might go through? Yahweh provides, but we have to keep our focus on him through the Messiah. I don't have to turn here, but Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Master, in his might." John 16:33 says, "In me you will have peace." What does that allow us to think about? I mean, what do we think about when we read that? In me you will have peace. Well, outside of him, there's not peace. So we need to be in the Messiah for peace. We need to rely on that spirit that he provides, that Yahweh provides. Psalm 119. How does a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. This is King David, a man after Yahweh's own heart. And yet he strayed, but yet he repented, and he stopped doing those things which were wrong. It's so easy to get entangled with the world. We are being bombarded from the left, from the right, from behind, and in front of us many times. Whether it's television, the internet, whether it's friends or so-called friends, workplace, for those that are in prison, that's a tough one to be in. I've seen some programs that have shown what goes on, and my heart goes out to you guys because I know it's real tough. And if it's anything like what they've shown. And, you know, sexual sins, it's tough when, you know, the Apostle Paul said, you know, if you burn, you should marry. So there can be these things that we go through. And, you know, if you're in prison, you're not able to go anywhere. You're stuck. But in a sense, that's good because you can focus on Yahweh. You can spend time in the Word. You can spend time in prayer. You're not distracted. You can focus. So that's the word of encouragement. Focus. Focus on Yahweh. Focus on His will for your life. And overcome. And He will help you. because walls and bars do not prevent him from reaching in and helping. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to have to turn there, but we do know that this is a scripture that talks about, well, Yahshua is speaking about not hating, not thinking about lusting, not even looking at women or other sex. And in some cases, people are wanting to come out of abominable things, homosexuality, lesbianism, these type of things. And they are abominations, and they're right to want to come out of that. But it doesn't mean that the tendencies are not there, that the desire is not somehow still lingering. Well, you know, nothing is impossible for Yahweh, and He can help. He can help a person overcome those things. But a person has to be resolute. They have to be firm in wanting to serve Yahweh and to overcome, and they need to be thinking about the kingdom, His righteousness, and these type of things, and start changing their life, like the 12-step program. It's not all at once. It's step by step. And a lot of times we need to make sure that if the TV is a problem, get it out. If the internet is a problem, don't go to it. If there are other things that are problematic, avoid them as much as is possible. And Yahweh, seeing your obedience in those areas, will bless, because He knows that you are wanting to be obedient to Him and are wanting help. It is harmful for people to be exposed to adulterous and murderous images that are shown regularly on media formats today, like Lucy Lawless. Ted Bundy, he was a mass murderer, rapist, serial rapist, murderer, shared that he had filled his mind with both sexual and murderous images from his youth. It was probably not the sole contributing factors, but indeed they most certainly did contribute to his sickness and ultimate death, along with the suffering and death of others. It's been noted that most, if not all, serial rapists and murderers have been involved with pornography. How bad is that? That's bad stuff. While there are stern warnings against such things as adulterous immorality, we've also noted that there is hope. There is hope in the Messiah. There is hope when you turn around and start focusing on Yahweh, when you truly repent and start putting away those things which are wrong, which are what the pagans do. These things are not fitting for Yahweh's people. We need to overcome. We need to focus on Him through Yahshua. In fact, Yahshua says in John 16, verse 34, and we'll close with a scripture. John 16, 34. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The message to us is we can too. May Yahweh bless.